You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Wire.
I don't know, and frankly the whole thing gives me the heebie-jeebies.
The Wire.
Last week, primary school teachers reached a settlement with the government regarding pay equity issues. As a part of this agreement, there will be increases in teachers' salaries, extra classroom release time, and lump sum payments to combat the cost of living crisis. I spoke to Liam Rutherford, who is a council member for the New Zealand Education Institute and current teacher, about the benefits of the pay offer agreement, as well as other areas in which further improvements need to be made. I wanted to start by asking what you and the union thought were the most important gains that primary teachers had as part of this agreement.
Yeah, I think probably the big one would be the historical increase in CRT time. I mean, this is going to be the key driver of making sure that the lived experience of teachers is one where the workload is manageable. We've seen that increase from 10 to 25 hours. That's going to free our teachers up for more one-on-one time with students, to have the time to be better prepared, and to actually start to push into some of those parts of teaching that we really love, like the opportunity to be a little bit creative around the learning experiences. And so I think that CRT will be the big one. And then a lot of members are also talking about the kind of one-off lump sum payment. It's coming right at a time where people are really starting to feel it. And so that support for the kind of current cost of living crisis that we've got is going to be gratefully received.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you about that outside of classroom time. What is it most used for by teachers, and how will that affect what they're able to do in the classroom?
Yeah, so it's used in a range of different ways. Some teachers use it at particular times of the year for report writing. Other times teachers use it for working with small groups of students. Sometimes teachers will use it to go and observe another teacher either in their school or from another school. And so it really does vary, and depending on the time of the year, teachers use it for different things.
Also included in this agreement is a pay rise of 18.3% for starting teachers. Besides this pay increase, what other measures would you like to see from the government in order to entice more people into teaching?
I think if you were to talk to people out there in the sector, that focus needs to be on initial teacher education and making sure that when we're bringing new teachers into classrooms for the first time, that they're actually having really successful and enjoyable experiences, because currently it's quite patchy out there. Alongside that, we need to make sure that pay rates are competitive. People are really quick to talk about the pay discrepancies between New Zealand and Australia. And so linking those two ideas together, one of the things they could be looking at is things like bonding, where you've got teachers training for free, but they've been committing to New Zealand for X number of years until that's paid off.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And I want to ask a little bit about the kind of roles, because I don't think we think about this enough as a country, what teachers do outside of the classroom and how they're involved in the community and that part of the job as well. What are some things that we're not thinking about as Kiwis and New Zealanders that teachers do that are so important to our communities?
Yeah, another really good question. I guess a lot of teachers don't get into the profession because they see it as a kind of 9-to-5 job. These are people that are genuinely passionate about young people being successful. And so teachers take on an enormous amount of work outside of the classroom, often connected through sports and cultural events to do with the schools. But on top of that, they'll typically go wherever it's in the interest of their students to go to. It isn't uncommon to see teachers down there watching sports over the weekend, whether they are the ones in charge of the team or not. I know from my own experience, I would take the time to go and see students in various dance and musical performances, not because I had anything to do with it, but I was just passionate about seeing the children I was responsible for out there doing cool things in their lives.
Excellent. And I just wanted to finish by asking you what concessions had to be made to get this agreement over the line, and what kind of things you'd like to see in future negotiations with the government.
Yeah, I think that's what members are currently grappling with, is that it definitely isn't a settlement where they felt all of their issues were addressed. There is still a lot of talk around whether or not the pay rates have gone as far as they needed to make sure that teachers' wages aren't going backwards. But the big one that you hear over and over again, and we actually don't have those tangible solutions right now in classrooms, is learning support. Our young people coming into classrooms these days are so diverse, and we genuinely don't have the supports there. It feels as if people still think classroom teaching is about one teacher standing up in front of 30 students, but the reality is that the diverse set of needs that our kids have and the behaviours that often manifest as a result of that diversity just can't be met under the current way that we fund schools. We don't have enough learning support coordinators, speech language therapists, education psychologists, as examples of supports that are desperately needed right now and just don't exist. And there wasn't anything in the collective agreement that came close to addressing that.
Excellent. Sorry, just a follow-up question on that. How do you think that should be addressed by government? What kind of policy would you like to see, or even just as part of a future agreement, how do you think that should be addressed?
I think the reality is that some of that stuff can't happen through the collective agreement itself. But collective agreements are really good times to be talking with the government around the investment that they need to be making in education. But the big thing that we need to start doing is actually planning the education workforce. And that might sound like a bit of an odd thing to hear, but the reality is that we do very little effort into the number of teachers that we need, particularly in particular parts of the country. We don't know how many education psychologists we're going to need. We don't know how many speech language therapists that we're going to need. There just seems to be this feeling that if you make it attractive enough, people will leave high school, go to university and move into those careers. But we're just not seeing it happen. And so we need a much more deliberate and planned approach to how we are building an education workforce that's capable of meeting the needs of kids. And the longer that takes to get to that understanding, it's our children that are missing out.
That was Liam Rutherford on the government's pay-offer agreement with primary teachers.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.